Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The RTE Radio 1 Twitter account is running a poll on hitchhiking, asking would you give a stranger a lift? At the moment, it's 75% against. Another update for you from Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health. He's received the report from the HSE on visits to our maternity units. The assessment yesterday by the HSE finds that 14 of the 19 units are fully compliant with the national policy, the 20-week scan, birth and neonatal visits. And he goes on to explain what the issues are in the five units that are not fully compliant. He says all five are part of a general hospital rather than being a standalone maternity unit. Now, Kathleen Murray is with us, owner of Doggy Do's and Don'ts in Donegal. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah,
we have lots of questions in for you. And if anyone wants to get in touch, the text number is 51551. So with the better weather now, Kathleen, we're out exercising our dogs maybe a bit more. And we might be oblivious to the fact that we're not totally controlling our animals. They may approach children or people who aren't big fans of dogs. What advice do you have for dog owners just to get control of the dog when they're out and about?
Okay, well, yes, that can be a real problem in the summertime, especially when you're out and about, because there are more people out and about and everybody enjoys the good weather. So practicing a bit of basic obedience at home, building the relationship between you and the dog, making that better. A lot of people underestimate the relationship and the basic obedience because that's the cornerstone to everything you're going to do with your dog. Now, some people also concentrate too much on the basic obedience and they think if they teach the dog to sit or to stay or things like that, that the dog will always do that then once it knows it. But that's not the case, because if your dog is overexcited, your dog is not going to be listening to you. So you have to deal with the excitement first. So you have to learn to separate these things. And the relationship between you and your dog is really important. And the sooner you build that relationship and trust, and that the dog understands when you ask it to do something, then there needs to be a response. Now, this is all taught in a very gentle way. There's no need for shouting. There's no need for pulling or, you know, being rough or anything like that, or being loud. And if it's done through games in the beginning with lots of treats and things, then the dog will learn a lot faster. If you ask your dog to do something, then your dog needs to know. You need to know that you've taught the dog to do that first, because there's no point expecting a dog to do something for two reasons. One is it may not know what you want. You mightn't have taught it. And the other one is no dog I ever met talks English.
You know, I remind myself of that all the time when I'm talking to the dog and wondering why the dog isn't doing what I want the dog to do. It never learned how to speak our language, Kathleen. This listener would like your opinion on the use of electric collars on dogs, fence collars, anti-bark collars. I've witnessed someone use two of these on a puppy and I don't agree with it. I think they're cruel. I'd just like to hear Kathleen's thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, Kathleen is dead against it, because there's absolutely no need for any of these gadgets at all. If you teach your dog properly and you have the right relationship with your dog, then there's absolutely no need for any interference from anything else. Mm-hmm. The only thing you really need is a lead and a few treats.
Yeah, and that'll work, and a bit of patience and time as well.
Absolutely, and know what you want, know how to teach it.
Any advice to stop a greyhound play biting?
Play biting. Yeah, play biting is always a big one. It often starts out very young when puppies are teething, but some people let it go on for far too long and they don't understand that we have to teach the dog not to do this, because when pups play together, it's okay for them to jump and grab each other because that's what puppies do in the dog world. But when puppies come into the human world and they're living in our homes, then they need to learn not to do that, because human skin is very easily broken, especially a child's, because they've got very thin skin. So puppies need to learn to stop doing that at a much younger age. There's lots of different ways that you can help with that. You can distract the puppy by throwing a toy in a different direction. You can put something into the dog's mouth while you're petting the dog so that the dog isn't just grabbing onto you, that it actually has something, maybe like a tug-of-war toy or a ball or something. And don't play with your puppy when it's very excited. with your hands. You know, try to throw things, a ball maybe one direction, and the pup runs after that, and then throw another ball another direction or something when they're quite young, because then they will actually use up a lot of energy and they're going to be calmer and quieter when you actually want to stroke them then or pet them. But it's a good idea to put something in their mouth or distract them. Or there's loads of ways you can do it. You can put the puppy outside the door for a moment and then let him back in and resume the play. And as soon as the teeth go on you again, just put the puppy back out again for a few minutes. And then when the puppy's calm, bring it in. Until the puppy learns that every time it touches you with its teeth, then that's a no-no.
Yes.
It's going to be removed from the game. Just stop the game there and then.
Okay. And they do learn pretty quickly, don't they, when you do these things?
But you need to be consistent with it, because if you do it today and you don't do it tomorrow, or you half-heartedly do it, or you know, you don't do it in a way that the pup understands that you know it's not what you want from the puppy. Mm-hmm. Because some people talk to a puppy as if they're playing with the puppy all the time. No, you know, and the puppy is thinking, well, this is a great game. You know, because your tone of voice is not anything. You need to have a firm tone of voice if you're saying no, because the puppy needs to understand. I don't mean shout at the puppy. I don't mean terrorise the puppy. I just mean say no and mean it,
okay.
You know.
Will you just demonstrate a dog no for us?
Well, if you want to say no to a puppy, just look the puppy straight in the face and go no.
Right, so there's no, you're not giving any signal that this is about fun or playing. This is
I mean
no now.
Yeah, just be straight with the pup.
Here's one now. We're moving to an 8-year-old English sheepdog, and recently he started compulsively licking his paws to the extent where the left one has a small wound and there's no hair in the area. He usually does it while relaxing by the fire in the evening, and the owner is worried the constant licking will prevent healing. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, that's also quite a common problem in dogs. At the end of the last show, I recall a dog problem where the dog was constantly licking the sofa. Now, we were at the end of the show, so we didn't have time to go into a lot of detail. But it's a similar thing. Sometimes when you have compulsive licking, it can start off with something. It would just start it out innocently enough. But sometimes it has a deeper meaning, and it can be like a misplaced behaviour where the dog is anxious, or they're trying to tell you that they're bored, or they're trying to tell you that they're lonely. You know, there's lots of different reasons, and it can become a really bad habit, an ingrained habit, and it keeps on going. It can also be a medical problem. So you need to take your dog to the vet first to make sure that there's no allergy, because it can be an allergy as well. Dogs can start licking themselves from allergies or start scratching as well.
Those allergies, though, can be very hard to deal with too.
Incredibly hard to deal with, and they're different, you know, they're different kinds of allergies. You know, the food allergies, there are environmental allergies, there's all kinds of stuff. So the vet will help you to decide which allergy your dog has and what the best treatment for that is. And some allergies are just a management problem for the entire life of the dog. Some allergies can be cleared up, you know, so it's, you know, the vet is the best guide on that one.
Oh gosh, this is poor Mary had a bad experience. So they have a male Yorkshire Terrier, 16 months old, first groomed 2 weeks ago for the first time.
Yeah.
It was a traumatic affair for all involved, and since then he won't go walking outside. Prior to this, he would be desperately awaiting his walks. We put on the lead, he won't go past the driveway. We normally walk a couple of times a day. I'm wondering if he doesn't want to see the other dogs. Perhaps he's lost his confidence. We didn't even get to his toenails at the grooming. Perhaps they could be too long. Mary just wants to know how to build back his confidence.
Okay, what age do you say that dog is?
Don't have... Oh, 16 months old, yeah.
16 months old, okay. And this is the first grooming?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this puppy already, or this dog already has a problem now at this stage. But for other people who are thinking of going to a groomer with their puppy, the best way to bring a puppy up from the start is to actually bring the puppy in when it's very young, just to have the puppy brushed and handled by the groomer, without any clipping, without any sounds of hair dryers or anything at all going on, just to get into the atmosphere of it. And it's the same with the vet. Sometimes it just helps to bring your puppy into a veterinary surgery and have it handled, because handling a dog when they're very young is incredibly important, because then things are not as traumatic for them. But this dog is already now 16 months old, and has had a bad experience, so this has definitely daunted the confidence big time. And this dog could turn out to be incredibly aggressive if it goes back into a groomer's now, and then the next thing it's going to have maybe a muzzle put on his face or whatever. Maybe the groomer will refuse to see it. But you can build up the confidence again. You can start off by learning, by handling the dog at home yourself, just by gently holding up one of the paws, and if the dog remains calm, then give it a treat. Maybe hold up the back leg slightly for a second and just brush it with your hand. calm and give a treat if the dog is calm. Work your way up in baby steps and gently acclimatise and desensitise your dog as you go along. Maybe leave a hairdryer running in the background at the other side of the room away from the dog. Because I know that one of my dogs over the years developed a fear at one stage when it went in. Just, it was fine for a long time, and then all of a sudden, if I put on the fan in the car.
Mm-hmm. The heating, like the air con.
Yeah, if you put on the blower, to cool down the air in the car or whatever. The minute I put that on, he nearly had a heart attack. He jumped into the back seat. because it reminded him of an episode that happened at the groomer. But we got past it, we got over it again, and he actually loved the groomer. But it's very easy to put a dog off. It's very easy to upset a dog. And the dog remembers it because that's the association they'll have with it when they go back the next time into the same situation. Mm-hmm. But it is really important that you do go to somebody and desensitise the dog. Learn how to desensitise the dog gently. And, you know, your dog will be able to cope with an awful lot more.
Okay, that's going to take a bit of work. Now, this one, I'm going to read this one because I'd say it's a common enough problem from Judith. She wants to know if there's a surefire way to help with recall. She has an 11-month-old retriever who loves the sea. Every time she takes him off the lead, he runs away to any man, woman, child, dog, anything else he sees far away. And Judith has to run after him. It's got to the point where she now can't take him off the lead at all. He's very good about everything else, but just has zero recall. So how can she get him to come back?
Well, clearly he's not very good about everything else. That's the first thing that I would say. Because clearly he thinks it's okay to run up to everybody.
Yeah.
And every dog without any permission of any kind or knowing if he's wanted or not. So he's 11 months old. He's in the middle of his adolescence. He's not going to want to listen anyway at this point in time. But you can work with this. You can do an awful lot to help the situation. This is what I'm saying about the importance of basic obedience when they're younger as well. And what a lot of people do is they make a big mistake in allowing their dog way too much freedom when they're small, when they're very young. And when they take them to the beach and they're small and harmless, as they see, they let them off and run around and have a great time. So what you're doing there is you're actively teaching your dog to run up to people, to run and off, and that the good time and the euphoria is what it's all about. But it's not really, because as the dog grows older then and gets bigger, then you start to see reactions in other people where they're afraid of the dog, or whether, you know, the dog jumps on them and they don't want it and things like that. And now the dog is bigger and stronger. So what I would do with this dog is I would get maybe a 20-metre lead. You can get them anywhere, pet shops, online, whatever. And it's just the very same as a normal lead with a handle and a clip for the collar, but there's 20 metres in between. It's not one of those extendable leads because they don't go out far enough. And take the dog to the beach on that and then let it have a run around, play ball, run into the water, come out again, really have a good time. But every now and again, call the dog back when it's at the end of the lead and wait for the dog to come back and then make a big fuss and then let the dog go again or throw the ball or whatever, and then call the dog back again and maybe teach it to stay and walk back the 20 metres and then call it to you. There's lots of things you can do just to get the dog to focus back on you again and less of a focus on other people and other things. And when you see somebody coming or you see a dog coming, ask your dog to come back into you. Now, it's on the end of this lead, so you're in charge. You can bring the dog back
if
to you.
If you're strong enough, because retriever now could put a good pull on the end of a 20-metre
lead.
Well,
if you have a surefire treat, I'm sure, something that they really love, they'll come back for it. Sometimes rattling a crisp bag, sometimes a squeaky toy. Depends on what your dog is into. Use that to get them to come back. And then when they come back, ask them to walk along beside you or sit beside you until the person walks by, and then release them again. And then if you see somebody else, bring them back and ask them to stay with you again, either walking or sitting beside you, and then release them when the person goes by again. So the dog very quickly learns that when they see somebody coming, they'll return to you rather than run to the person, and they'll get a treat or they'll get played with or whatever. And you can practice that for a while. But again, it's a bit of work and there's a bit of patience required, and it will turn around though eventually.
Kathleen, good to talk to you. Kathleen Murray there, owner of Doggy Do's and Don'ts in Donegal.